أريد سفرا. حضرت أنس رضي الله عنه says that one man came up to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I wish to go on journey. فزودني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم grant me some provisions. So here we explain there's two possibilities from what he meant. One is this person was referring to that ruhani spiritual provisions. So he was asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to make dua for him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam appreciated and he understood what he's asking for. Or there is a possibility that this person was asking also for provisions as far as the worldly material is concerned. Because those days they were very poor, very difficult. Anything they needed, they went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was everything for them. So if they had to go for a journey and they needed something also, then they would come to him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam understood what this person was asking for. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you take the first explanation, then he made dua for him. And the second explanation, if he came for something, some material item, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned his attention towards akhirat. Very often, sahaba would request for something of dunya. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would turn the attention towards akhirat, teaching us that try and keep most of our focus on akhirat. Most of our focus should be on akhirat. That sometimes our mind will go to dunya, but our mind should turn and be changed towards akhirat. Like his daughter, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when she would grind, then she would be getting blisters on her body. She would carry that heavy water in a leather bag to such an extent that even on her shoulders, there was marks and bruises being left. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha requested her that go ask your father for some of the servants that have come, perhaps they can help and assist us. When she eventually went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave her something that he said was better for her. And what was it when the person retires to bed, 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar is better for you than even the servant that you're requesting. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would often, when he came to his own family, then he would be very careful to turn the attention always from the things of the dunya to the things of akhirah. So here it is possible that this person was asking for things. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua for him. Zawwadaka Allahu taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you taqwa. We explained that the first thing that is compromised generally on a journey, we see it now very often, is a person's deen. Because on the way there's so much of different types of fitna, there's so much of different types of things that generally a person won't be exposed to at home. And we don't have to look too far, go to the airports, person goes in aeroplanes. Person is being received at the airport on that side. Every way is only about entertainment and entertainment. So the first thing that suffers on a journey is a person's deen. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you taqwa. فقال زدني, this person got happy. He said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, make more dua for me. Increase the dua. قال وغفر ذنبك, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made his dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive your sins. قال زدني, he said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, more. قال ويسر لك الخير حيثما كنت. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make goodness easy for you wherever you are. May goodness become easy for you wherever you are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for you as far as good is concerned for you. Wherever you are, yesterday we explained the dua that our elders would make. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a good home, meaning a good home when a person is young, he's just born, good home that he lives in and he grows up, deeny environment. A good home when this person gets married. A good home when this person eventually passes away and goes in the qabr. A good home in akhirat. So everything is covered by one simple dua. So like that, here such a simple dua Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, but it covers everything. That wherever you may be, may Allah Pak make goodness easy for you. Then Allah Pak mentions an ayat of the Quran, وَتَوْزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Take your provisions along with you. When you're traveling, take provisions. It doesn't mean a person must go without provisions. Allah Pak is saying, تَزَوَّدُوا, take your provisions with you. But remember, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى, the best provision you can take with you when you go on journey is taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be careful, protecting yourself from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is known as taqwa, to create a curtain between yourself and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the best provision you can take. Better than your spare tire, better than the extra warm clothes you're taking, better than the torches you're taking, and better than the perfumes and repellents that you're taking. The best provision you can take, not to say you don't take these others, you take them, but the best that you can fill your suitcase with and fill yourself with is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will help a person throughout his journey, doesn't matter where he goes to. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Istikharati wal Mushawarati, the chapter on consultation and seeking guidance. This also is something that is very, very important, seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consulting. This is something that our akabir did. It doesn't matter how great they were, how big they were, how senior they were. Continuously they consulted, they made istikhara, they made mashura. Allah Pak mentions in the ayat in the Quran, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you also make mashura. Can you imagine? Who can be higher than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah Pak commands him, did you also make mashura, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with sahaba? وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those matters that were done by mutual consultation, referring to sahaba, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they would get their matters sorted out by mutual consultation. In Ma'riful Quran, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions very beautifully under the ayats, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create insan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gathered the malaika, and he had mentioned to them, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ, that I am creating a vicegerent, I'm creating a khalifa. So the malaika mentioned, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. In other words, in surprise, that are you going to create some creation that will spill blood, they'll cause fasad on earth, they'll cause mischief and corruption of earth, and they will spill blood. They were surprised, because the malaika, we know they are 100% full-time in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There isn't the thought of them disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here is a creation that has got some of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can choose to do right, they can choose to do wrong. They won't remain 100% in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this malaika knew this a little. They didn't know everything, but they knew a little. But from what they knew, so they mentioned that they were out of surprise. So Mufti Shafisa mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't need to have this situation of consultation with malaika, that this is what I'm doing. And then the malaika replied that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are expressing surprise. But how can you do this? Not that they were objecting, they could never object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says this whole scene was there. One of the hikmats of the scene is to impress upon us how important mashwara is. It's as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mashwara with the malaika. Allah Pak doesn't need to make mashwara. His knowledge, he transcends every realm. His knowledge is infinite. There's no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make mashwara, but to impress upon us that how important mashwara is. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create the scene, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructed that you also make mashwara. Sahaba would make mashwara. In fact, in the Battle of Khandaq Trench, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he was the one that initiated, he came up with the idea of digging the trench. And it happened that in the same, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made jamaats, small, small pockets of sahaba, that you're in one group, you're in one group, almost like team building. So each pocket of sahaba had a different part of the trench to dig. Now that part which Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, the person who came up with the idea, and those sahaba that were with him, they came across a very, very big boulder in that part that they were given to dig, came across a very big boulder. Naturally, what would you do if you come across a boulder? You just divert the trench and you'll go around the boulder and you'll carry on. But even at that point, they had that sahabi that came up with the idea with them. And it was very easy for them just to continue. When they came across the rock, first thing they did was they went back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a rock here. What must we do? Ulama said, such a simple thing. Even that also they made mashura for. Me and you, with so many complicated things we got, but we feel it, no, it's beyond us. Why do we need to consult an alim? Why do we need to consult a specialist? And mashwara doesn't mean that a person has to go to an alim. In whatever field of work he's doing, whatever department, he's got a medical problem, he makes mashwara with a doctor. He's got an architectural problem, he makes mashwara with an architect. He's got a plumbing problem, he makes mashwara with one plumber that knows about it. He's got an electrical problem, he phones an electrician, make mashwara with an electrician. So every department of his life, so long as he's making mashwara correctly, this person will always find khair and barakat. We'll see as we go in the different type of ahadith, how much benefit there is just by making mashwara, making istikhara, rather than just being free thinking and doing whatever we please. Even in the dunya, if you could ask those doctors, that which are the patients that generally have the best results, you say those patients are the ones that all the time consult with us, all the time when they speak to us, and what we tell them also in terms of the mashwara we give them, they follow, those are the ones that have the best results compared to those that just decide to self-diagnose, self-medicate. they are the ones that don't have any results, and sometimes they make it worse for themselves. Allah Pak, give us all tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.